Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's so good to see each and every one of you in the service. We're glad that you're here, and I hope that that the Lord blesses you today as we worship together. Ministry fair banners are still up, and the reason the ministry fair banners are still up is because you didn't sign up last Sunday. So that means you've got to sign up today, or we may continue in them on until this time next year, you know. We just may not know. But anyway, I do appreciate it. Be sure to go by those and look at them. Do sign up. And as we're talking about signing up, we're going to do something real quick. If you are a member of the church age 15 and up, and you have not yet filled out a nominating committee form, would you raise your hand? The reason being, we're going to hand you a form so that you can fill that out before you leave today so that we can have those back. We do need these back. We've kind of made light of it, but this is a very important part of what we do as a church. And if you get one that's got the two sheets, all I need is that back sheet. So you can keep that front sheet. But if you've not filled that out yet, be sure and get that in. There is a tray out there in the foyer. Just drop it in the tray as you're leaving this morning. Be sure and remember choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Small groups at 6. If you're part of the Good News Good News small group, the handout. My mind went completely blank. The handout for that session tonight, I do have that session prepared. That's the reason the handout is back there. But anyway, that handout for that session this evening is back at the sound desk, so be sure and pick that up. Trail Life and American Heritage Girls tomorrow night at 6:30. Wednesday night activities here at the church at 6. Next Saturday is our Easter egg hunt, and that will begin at 11 o'clock and go until 1. And we do need to know if you're planning to, if your kids are coming, or if you're planning to bring some children with you for that Easter egg hunt, and if you could let us know by Wednesday, that would be great. Be sure and remember that the continuous prayer list in the church calendar for March is in the foyer, and be sure and pick one of those up. Bread of Life needs help for the April 6th meal, and that sign-up sheet is also in the foyer. If you're going to bring candy for the Easter egg hunt, be sure and have that here by Wednesday. We so much thank the Lord for your faithfulness in giving, your faithfulness in attendance. And God is blessing our church, and we just want to say thank you for all that you do, and we do appreciate your faithfulness in giving. Any other announcements this morning? So good to see each of you.
Amen. Well, aren't you thankful for the grace of God this morning?
Amen.
Stand with me this morning as you're able. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the grace that you have extended to each and every one of us. We're thankful that even though we didn't deserve it, that you gave it to us anyway. Father, this morning as we come into this place, we're reminded of the fact that we serve a God who loves us, a God who cares about us, a God who knows what we're dealing with in our lives. And so God, this morning, I pray that you would help us to put the baggage aside that may be weighing us down from life, and that we would focus this morning on the fact that you're a God who loves his children beyond measure. Father, as we continue in this time together this morning, I pray that you would bless, that you would undertake and intervene, and that we would leave here today a little bit different than when we came. And for everything you do, we'll give you praise and honor and glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Strong, it shall forever. the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great. My soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee.
Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a God who is worthy of our praise?
Amen.
A God who loves us enough to send His Son and die for us. I meant to share this before the first song that we sang, and I've maybe shared it before, but I think it's worth sharing again. The last verse of that song has a kind of an interesting story behind it. It was somewhere on back several hundred years ago that the story goes, there was a person who was given over to the care of an insane asylum. And long story short, that individual passed away. And as they were removing that body from that room, one of the attendants came back in the room and found some words scratched on the wall in the room in this insane asylum of this person who was psychotic. They were crazy. And these were the words that were penned there. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I think that just speaks to the goodness of God. If God can use a person who was literally insane to write words that are that powerful, then imagine what in the world He can do with you. God is good. And regardless of whether life at this point has shown you that, it doesn't change the fact that God is still good. And I'm thankful for the fact that we can serve a God who is good, who walks with us through the times that are maybe not so great, who walks with us through the fire and the flood. He tells us in Scripture, when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The floods won't overflow you. Why? Because I'm your God. And I'm going to be with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so it doesn't really matter what the world throws at us. It doesn't really matter what situations we may face. We can rest in the goodness of God because Romans tells us if God is for us, then no one can stand against us. So let's sing this morning together.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. You as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I've surrendered. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. It's running after me.
We teach our children a little prayer just before we eat. God is great and God is good. So much theology in those two little phrases, Lord. To think about your greatness, to look at the vastness of our universe. Look at the vastness of our sin sometimes, Lord. But then to think about the goodness of God. That even while we were still sinners, your word tells us that Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that we have felt as we have worshiped you this morning. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that has been extended to us. Lord, we're here this morning by your grace and by your mercy. And now, Lord, we get to have a time in which we look into your word. And I ask you, God, this morning that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would come and work in our hearts and lives. We don't want to just hear the words of William. We want to really hear what you have to say to us. And we don't want to just go out of this place the same that we were when we came in. We want you to speak to us in such a way and our response be to you that we will be changed and that we do believe that you can change us. There's a world out there that needs to know that you are available. You're available to hear their cry. You're available to touch their heart. You are available to meet their needs. And so this morning we thank you that you are here to meet our needs. And I ask you, God, that you would bless, that you would help. Bless those of our congregation who need your physical touch this morning. Thank you, God, that you are in the healing business still. We believe that. And so we trust you to touch and to help. May you go with us throughout the rest of this service and for the good things that you're going to accomplish in our hearts and our lives as we look into your word together. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't you glad you were in worship this morning? Wow. Just nearly got carried away over there. I'm thankful for God's presence as we worship Him this morning. I want to speak to you today from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 40 and go down through chapter 2, verse 2. Let me encourage you to do something. You know, I don't have to tell you, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the next is Easter. And there are a lot of people that might not come any other time of the year, but they'll show up on Palm Sunday and Easter. And that'll be a great time for you to invite them. You might be shy to invite them any other time. I mean, I can understand that if I had a pastor like me. But invite them to come and to be a part of the services next Sunday. We're going to have a great time together as we celebrate Palm Sunday next Sunday and then Easter Sunday. Christ the Lord is risen. Praise His name. And we will get to praise Him and enjoy that service on Easter Sunday morning. So be sure and remember to invite somebody to come and be with you next Sunday morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourselves to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he, speaking of the man, went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, very few of us will ever get to meet a celebrity. I've not met very many famous people. I told you once that I got to meet Chet Atkins, who was one of the best guitarists that has ever lived. And my dad was thrilled when I got to meet him, and I got Chet Atkins' autograph, got to shake his hand. Susie and I sat right front row center for a community concert. We were both majoring in music there at the college, and so we had to go to community concerts, and he came and was sitting on a stool right there, and we were right in the first row. I mean, it was something. I was thrilled, and when I called my dad and told him, I said, "I got to meet Chet Atkins, I got his autograph," Daddy was just absolutely overwhelmed because my dad loved to play the guitar. And really, of all the, I've seen some famous people. I rode on a plane one time with Jerry Lee Lewis. He looked like death warmed over, you know. Wow. But I didn't get to meet him. He had the entire first class section of that plane reserved so that nobody would be sitting with him while he was on that plane. I started just to sit down and have a conversation with him. I have not met that many famous people, but I have found out something. I grew up in a small town, and Crossville, for all intents and purposes, in comparison to some of the towns that I've lived in, it is a small town. And if you're part of Facebook and you're on Chitter Chatter, you know everything that happens in this town. The good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. In a small town, it seems like everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows everything, and if they don't know it, they'll soon find out. That's just kind of the way it is. News travels fast in a small town, and if something happened, it doesn't take long for a crowd to gather. If someone big comes to town, it doesn't take long for the crowds to gather around them. And what you have in this passage of Scripture that I read to you this morning is a celebrity is coming to town. You have to go back to chapter 1, verse 40, and there in chapter 1, verse 40, you really begin to see how this celebrity status began. Jesus has a man with leprosy come up to him and beg him to touch him and to help him. And it's interesting, and I don't have time to develop this morning. It's interesting to me when I read this, it says that Jesus was indignant. But yet, even though it says he felt that way, he reached out and touched the man, and the man was immediately made whole. And Jesus says to the man, "Now, this has happened. Don't tell anybody." Have you ever told a kid not to tell something? You might as well have not wasted your breath, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to tell everything that they know, you know. We had a lady that came to our church in Cushing. And she was Sunday school teacher of the beginner's class, and the pastor's little boy was in that beginner's class. And she was asking for prayer requests from the class. And so she went around to all the little boys and girls in the class, and finally she got to the pastor's son, and she said, Do you have a prayer request? She said, "Yeah, I wish you'd play for my dad." Well, Betty was shocked because she didn't know anything was wrong with her pastor, and she said, "Well, son, what's going on?" He said, "Well, he's sick of this church." I'm not sure how much longer he was at that church, but he told the man, "Don't go tell anybody." I'm sure that little boy had heard his dad say that, you know, at dinner one Sunday morning. But he told this man, he said, don't go tell anybody. And immediately the man goes out. I mean, in verse 45, instead he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And then it says, Mark says, and as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Isn't that something? It's amazing to me when you begin to read all of this that you find that Jesus became really a celebrity, I think, long before he ever wanted to. Even he and his mother had this conversation at the wedding at Cana of Galilee when he told her, he said, my time is not yet come. And she just walks off like mothers do, expecting him to do what she told him to do. And then it was noise that Jesus was in the house. Chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. The King James Version says there that it was noised. I love that. It was noised that he was in the house. The word there literally means that it was sounded out. One translation uses and says the word that it was roared out. That Jesus was there. A lot of people believe that Peter was the one that told. Because they believe that probably he was there in Peter's house. And you go on down and you read all that happens in relation to this. And there's all these things going on. And this morning, I really want us to see what happens when Christ comes into a house. I want it not only to apply to this place in which we are seated this morning, or you are seated and I am standing. I not only want us to see how it applies to this place, but I want to see how it applies to this place. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is Christ in the house cannot remain a secret. Christ in the house cannot remain a secret. Look at verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and so many people gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Whether or not Peter told or whether someone else caught a glimpse of him, the fact that Jesus was in the house, in this house in particular, it couldn't be kept a secret. I mean, probably what he had hoped would might be a time of rest, maybe a time just simply to be alone with the disciples. All of that somehow suddenly turned into an open-air service. The crowd was so great that the Bible says that there was no room in the house. And so all of these people were there. And the Bible says that he began to speak to them. It's here in these next few verses that you find the man being let down through the roof for healing. And that's a whole other story in itself. The fact of the matter was that Jesus in that house couldn't remain a secret. And I want you to understand something this morning, that when Jesus really invades a house, and I'm talking maybe about this house this morning, and about this house this morning, when Jesus really invades a house, there is absolutely no way for that to remain a secret. No way for that to remain a secret. Whether it is our church or whether it is in us. And I'm not necessarily just going out and saying that we should go out and start talking it up. I really believe that if Jesus is in the house, somebody's going to talk about it in one way or the other. You see, I really do believe that people are looking for something today that goes beyond what they are seeing on the news and goes beyond what they're hearing on Facebook. I'm telling you, we have more bad news coming at us from every direction than we've ever had before. And a lot of people are, as far as they are concerned, they are hopeless. They're looking for something. They're looking for someone that will give them help and that will give them hope. They're looking for something that is alive. They're looking for something that is active. They're looking for something that is real. They've had enough of the fake. They've had enough of the dead. They've had enough of the dull. They've had enough of the dry. They want to know that there is something real in our world that will make a difference in their lives. And I promise you folks that if Jesus is in the house, it cannot remain a secret. It can't be just something that we hold on to. While we were living in Laurel, in what we affectionately called as Parsonage Number 2, the senior pastor lived across the way from us, and we lived in the parsonage there across the street from the church. And while we were in there, the house just right down the hill from us caught on fire. We lived on Highway 15 there in the Glade community of Laurel. And there were people stopping on the side of the road, pulling off on the side of the road, and walking down that little street and down that hill so that they could go down there and watch that fire burn. I'm serious. It was amazing to me. I mean, people in dress clothes walking down to watch a house on fire. I was amazed. I heard someone say one time that if you get on fire in the church, people will come just to watch you burn. I believe there's some truth to that. And I think the reason that sometimes people go to house fires when they don't have any reason to go, they want to see something that is happening. I believe God wants to do something in us that would create such a burn within us that people would come to see what is happening. I'm going to get real personal right here for just a moment, okay? So hold on. But I don't want you just to hand this back and say, this is for somebody behind me, because I believe this is for you and this is for me, okay? So I want us to listen. Is Jesus doing anything in your life? Is Jesus doing anything in your life that you would want to talk about? Does he live there? Does your relationship with Jesus transform every part of your daily life? Because if it does, Christ in the house cannot remain a secret. It cannot remain a secret. But I want you to notice the next thing that I look at when I see this. And that is that when Christ is in the house, those inside the house are going to be blessed. I really began to look at this. And I know the font this morning is a little hard to read, and I apologize for that. It looked real big on my computer screen, and when I realized it was, I just didn't have time to redo this. But when Christ is in the house, those inside are going to be blessed. As I was getting this message together, I began to notice something. I found that every time that Jesus went into a house, that the people inside that house were blessed. Chapter 1, verses 29 through 33. Peter's mother-in-law. He goes into the house. What happens? She is blessed. You come to chapter 2 here. And you go really down to verse 12. And Jesus in this house, it's been noised about that he is there. And people are trying to get their, these four guys are trying to get their friend to Jesus so that Jesus can heal them. They can't do anything. So they begin to tear off the roof of the house and lower the guy down into the house. And what happens? Jesus heals him. You go to chapter 5. Verses 38 through 43, Jesus is in Jairus' house. Jairus has come and said, hey, my daughter is dying. Can you come and do something? And Jesus gets bothered and has all these things going on as they're trying to get to the house. And finally people come to Jairus and they say, she's dead. And Jesus tells him, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. That's the bony paraphrase of that. And Jesus goes inside the house. And when he goes inside the house, you know what happens. I don't have to tell you. The little girl was raised from the dead. I found out just a little while ago that I'm going to get to be Zacchaeus on Easter Sunday morning for a little while. Marcy asked me if I would do that, and I said, sure, I'm short. I don't mind doing it at all. What happens when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house? Zacchaeus is touched and the whole family is saved. I mean, when Jesus went to see Mary and Martha, I mean, those were two sisters. They were upset. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus coming to their house touches, speaks, and Lazarus is raised from the dead. Isn't it amazing that every time that you find Jesus going into a house, those inside that house are blessed? When Jesus is in the house, it can't remain a secret. But when Jesus is in the house, needs are met. When Jesus is in the house, sins are forgiven. When Jesus is in the house, lives are restored. When Jesus is in the house, bodies are healed. When Jesus is in the house, those inside that house are blessed. I'm going to tell you, that's wonderful news that I have for you this morning. Because it doesn't matter whether it is this house. As a kid, I heard the church call the house of the Lord. I don't have a problem with that. He doesn't necessarily live inside a building, but he does live inside us. And when Jesus is in this house and is given lordship in this house, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed. He will touch you. He will help you. He will heal you. He will give you hope. He will forgive your sins. He can do all of those things. He can restore you. He can make you whole again. Because when Jesus is in the house, those inside the house are blessed. When Jesus is in the house, it can't remain a secret. When Jesus is in the house, those inside will be blessed. But I'm going to go in just a slightly different direction, okay? When Jesus goes outside the house, he meets the needs that are there as well. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, Pastor, I was accused of something that I didn't appreciate. And anytime that comes to a pastor's ears, he begins to go, oh my goodness, what am I about to be told? And I said, well, what is it? And they said, I was told I was a secretive Christian, that I'm trying to keep my Christianity a secret. And I've pondered on that for just a little bit ever since then. And I didn't say much to them about that, because that was something I think that person is going to have to deal with in their own heart. And they had already dealt with it in their own heart. So they didn't feel that it was justified what had been said to them. And I don't think it was justified either. But I began to think about that. How many of us, now I'm not asking you to raise your hand, and if you do, we're going to have an altar call immediately, okay? How many of us, though, if we really stop and thought about it, how many of us are undercover Christians? We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or make them feel like there's something wrong with them. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if they don't know Jesus, there is something wrong with them. But as we live this life here in this world, we are called to take the good news outside this place. Now some of us are very, very vocal. I won't call any names this morning. Some of us are very vocal. We're social butterflies. We have no trouble meeting people. I mean, we've got, you know, you can walk up to a total stranger. My dad was like that. My dad would walk up to a total stranger and strike up a conversation, and I would die. Daddy, be quiet. And the problem is that I see happening in me is I am becoming like him. I know from time to time I embarrass Tyler, because I'll just about talk to anybody in this town, you know. We go to a restaurant and I strike up a conversation. And I'm not saying we have to bowl people over with our testimony or anything like that. But I believe there should be something in us that people can sense. That there is something different about us. Christ in this house cannot remain a secret. And like I say, I don't believe God is going to force you to do something that's outside your personality, but I do believe that if given the opportunity, we need to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not only is it our hope of glory, but it is those people who are around us. It is their hope of glory as well. And Jesus, once He moved outside the house, okay? Once He moved outside the house, and we'll just deal here with chapter 2, okay? You go down to verse 13. When Jesus went outside the house, He called Levi. He called Matthew. When Jesus went outside the house, He was able to impact a whole lot more people than He could ever right there inside that room. Yes, He touched. Yes, He healed. Yes, He did all of those things. But Jesus outside the house meets the needs that are there. I was having a conversation yesterday, and somebody said something in a meeting that I was in over at the campground. Somebody said something that absolutely blew my mind because I had never thought of it before. I may get killed for sharing this. I'm not going to tell you who told me. But it had never come across to me quite like it came across to me yesterday. Because this person said, the harvest is not in the house. I mean, I understood that. But nobody had ever spoke those specific words to me. And it resonated as it did. Folks, we talk about the harvest. The farmer would never look at the field and sit inside his house and say, well, I hope that harvest comes in. If he does, he's not going to be a farmer very long. Folks, the harvest that we are wanting to reach is not inside this building. I believe, at least I hope, that all of you who are here this morning have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. If you have not, I'm going to tell you, it is as easy as ABC. Admit that you have sinned. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then confess Him before men. I mean, it's really that easy. But the harvest is not in here. The harvest is out there. And when Jesus went outside the house, He saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion for them. When Jesus went outside the house, He fed the thousands. When Jesus went outside the house, He died for you and for me, that we might be forgiven of our sins. When Jesus went outside the house. Inside the houses, He was only able to touch one or two. But outside the house, He dealt with the multitudes. We got to take Jesus out of the house. Whether it is this house or whether it is this house, we have to allow Jesus to go outside the house. Application. Jesus outside, or Jesus inside the house, He can't remain a secret. Jesus inside the house will meet all the needs, and Jesus outside the house will go there and meet needs as well. Here's what I want us to do. And I don't think we have to go out of here and have somebody walk down the street in front of us with a trumpet blaring so that people will notice us. I really believe that we can be the people of God in such a way that it will be noised about that Jesus is in this house. But I also believe that it can be noised about that Jesus is in this house. That everywhere I go, everywhere you go, Jesus is in the house. And He can meet the needs that are there. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have been present with us in this house this morning as we have worshiped You. From the time that the choir started singing until I stepped behind this pulpit this morning, I felt Your presence in such a real way. It just overflowed, Lord. And I thank You, God, that we were able to worship You in spirit and in truth this morning. And indeed, God, You are great. Indeed, You are good. And we give You praise and honor and glory this morning for the opportunity that we've had today to worship You. And we thank You, Lord, that You have been in the house. But Lord, we go out of this place now into a world that is lost, and for many people they are without hope. They are without help. They need somebody to take Jesus outside the house to them. So I pray, Father, that as we leave this place this morning, that we would realize that the mission field is not in Africa. The mission field is not just in South America or in Mexico or wherever we may think of missionaries going, but the mission area is right here in Crossville, Tennessee. The mission area is right on the street where we live. The mission area may be right inside the house in which we live. And I pray, Father, that as we go from this place today, that indeed Jesus would go with us in the house, but that He might also be talked about and the news noised abroad that Jesus is in our house, our personal house. May people see it. May they realize it. May we be willing, without any hesitation, if someone asks, to tell them, to give to them the reason for the hope that we have. We thank You, Lord, for these who have gathered here this morning. Sunday school teachers are going to be going down, and the workers are going to be going down for a time of instruction, a time of fellowship. I ask You, God, that Your Holy Spirit would go before us, and may it be a great time of learning, and may it be a great time of dreaming about what Jesus in the house can do. We love You, we thank You, we praise You for all that You have done this morning. Thank You for Your presence. Go with us, we ask You. Well, we really don't even have to ask that because You will go with us. But help us as we go that we would take You to a world that is lost and dying. We love You, we thank You, we praise You. We give You glory for what You have done and what You are going to do. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. If you have your nominating committee form, there is a tray out on the table on the opposite wall of the foyer as you go out this morning. Be sure and drop that in there. I hope you just didn't check no for the sake of checking no. If you did, I'm going to talk ugly about you. Love you guys. Appreciate you being here this morning. May God bless you. You are dismissed.